wish I could explain. Did you ever hear of anything called the Spirit? Of course you did. My point to that is, you ever feel like you don't have any Spirit? Do you ever feel like you need some Spirit? Or like your gas tank is empty and you need to fill up? Do you ever feel like maybe your battery's out of charge and you need a new charge? Well, that's how I felt yesterday. I felt empty. I even told my wife, I said, I feel empty inside, like there's no Spirit. I was concerned. I was worried. I had a funeral. It was just lifeless. And I'm not used to that. You understand? Maybe you're used to running on empty. I'm not. And so my tank was empty, and I didn't understand it, and I got in there and been praying and praying, and it wasn't until I walked out of my office, and I saw Tony, and I saw Nick, and I saw Robin, and then Fran came in, and then Laverne came in, I saw Daniel, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, I just started to get revived, and as I went down and I was washing my hands, I was like, praise God, and I started to feel the Spirit and the power. It's amazing what the church can do. It's amazing because I don't know. Hold on. You're the church. Amen. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the one that brings in the Spirit. When you see Tony coming in and Tony's got his arm up saying hallelujah, man, that does something to me. When I see Bob singing, when I see that man over there playing, when I see my beautiful wife, I see Denise. I haven't seen you in a week, right, Denise? It's been a while. 6 months or so? I know, but it feels like 6 months. Amen. My point to that is, I just want to say, and I'm being totally transparent, I felt like I was just praying, saying, Lord, where's the Spirit? Where's the fire? Where's the unction? Where's the power? And I came in, Barbara, and I saw your smiling face. I'm not kidding you. And then I'm like, I'm getting fired up. As the body assembles together, there's something powerful that happens. And it's true all over the world where the body of Christ assembles together. There am I in the midst. Amen. Where two or more are gathered together. He likes the more better than the two. Trust me. The more the merrier. Amen. It's good to see you all. I hope I didn't make you think I was crazy with that. I just want you to know that it's real. Man, I get fired. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you. Yes, ma'am? Amen. Amen. It is good to be home. Well, I missed you last service. I was looking for you. And it's amen. But I just want to say, how's everyone doing? Okay? Everybody okay? How you doing there, young lady? Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're here. You made it. Praise the Lord. She made it. Amen. Just if you ever think there's no devil, trust me, there's a devil. If you ever think there's no evil, unclean, dark forces out there, there are. Every Saturday, you might want to commit to come to church, but every Sunday morning, something's going to be trying to keep you from it. Amen. How you doing, Steve? It's good to see you, brother. I missed you when I was away. How's your wife? How's her wrist? Getting better? Praise the Lord. Glad to hear it. This morning, I want to talk to you Sunday school. Have a lot of verses to look at. It is called Sunday school. So we got a lot of verses. So get your fingers, let them do the walking, and let God do the talking. Amen. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. What? My wife is looking good. She's beautiful. I don't know what I'm doing right, but I gotta keep it up. Revelation chapter 20, are you there? Look at maybe what in verse 4. It says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither has received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I could stop here all day and just camp around it, but we got a lot of verses to look at. I want you to see what he said. He saw in verse 4, he says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and for and which had not worship the beast. We have these three things right here. We have the witness. It says, and judgment was given. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Why were they beheaded? For the witness of Jesus Christ. Why did the government kill them? Because of their witness for Jesus Christ. Do you see that? I want you all to see that. It says, and for what? The word of God. See, these people were not going to give up the witness, their truth of about Jesus Christ. So they were imprisoned, and they weren't going to give up the word of God, because it is by the word of God, and we're going to see that in a minute, that everything has been created on this earth, and you've been born again, and you live and breathe by the word of God. And so therefore they would not give up God's word, and they were killed for it. And it says, neither or would they worship the beast. So you look at those three things, they were killed for the witness of Christ, the word of God, and their worship. So the three words I want you to focus in on is witness, word, and worship. Amen? The witness, and where these men were killed for the witness of Christ. And what we're going to look at today is these are the true witnesses of God. If you will be a true witness of God, you might not get killed yet, but you sure will get something wrong. You might get fired. You start witnessing about Jesus Christ at your work, what's going to happen, Daniel? You're going to get fired. You can witness for the Democratic Party. It's true, you can. You can witness for the devil. You can witness for anything you want to. You mention the name of Jesus Christ nowadays in most jobs, and what will happen to you? Come on, give me a witness. It's true, isn't it? So what happens is people just start to be more quiet and more quiet and more quiet and more quiet and more quiet until finally, you know what happens. But let's look, I have so many verses to look at, and if there is a true witness, that means there's also a false witness. Thank you, sweetheart. If there's a true witness, there's a false witness. If there's a true word, there's a false word. And if there's a true worship, there's a false worship. And that's what I want you to see, because if you look down in the bottom of verse 4 there, it says, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And I want you to, we're going to look now at a lot of verses, and I hope I can catch up. But let's look first of all at the true witness, okay? Let's look at the true witness. Turn with me if you would please, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, say amen when you're there. Look in verse 5. Revelation 5:1-5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the what? See, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. You know what Jesus Christ is the witness of? He's the witness of the Father. He's the witness of God. He said, no one has seen God at any time. No one has seen the Father. No one knows the Father but me, his Son, and I declare him. So you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the only true, faithful witness of God. So here we have that Jesus is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look in Revelation chapter 3 with me. Revelation chapter 3, look in verse 14. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I want you to read that, because in verse 14 it says, unto the church of Laodiceans. You know what that means, don't you? You know what age the Laodicean age is? It's the age we're in right now. It's in the age where people are lukewarm. They're not hot, they're not cold. It's in the age of the last age of the seven ages of the seven churches. It is the last times that we're in, where the church that is says, we are rich and in need of not much. And God says, you don't know that you're poor and wretched and blind and miserable and naked. When I look, and I'm talking from where I'm at, as a pastor, God gives you, as a man of God, and anywhere where you elevate, but when you have a position, God gives you a certain vision. And that vision that you can see, maybe, and it's not because I'm up higher, even though it represents that you can see. I see the hearts of the children of God, or I should say the hearts of the so-called church that is in the world today, that they don't need God. They don't need true repentance. They don't need true revival. They don't need, because they just have what they need, that what they think they need. I'm telling you right now, we're in a bad position right now, but we're also in a great position, because as things get worse, we know he's coming closer. Amen. So I know that the day and the hour is unknown, but I certainly know the season is known. And we're getting into the right season where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take us off this place, and then all hell is going to break loose. Because the only thing that's stopping America, the last hope for the world, the only thing that's stopping America from going completely wacko left and devil is us. That's it. And so therefore, once we're gone, the light's gone, the witness is gone, the word is gone, and I'll tell you right now, we're in bad shape. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalm verse 89. Psalm 89, let me know when you're there by saying amen. That was fast, Bob. Look in verse 36 and 37. Psalm 89, 36 says, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. I mean, stop, think, pause on that. As a faithful witness in heaven. I'm here to tell you right now, God, his kingdom is inside of each and every true believer. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, is inside of you. Can I get an amen? And because he's inside of you, Brother Steve, what his spirit, what his faithfulness, what his godliness, who he is, wants you to speak on his behalf. For you are his ambassadors on this earth, and we need to be faithful witnesses of the Lord everywhere we go. Can I get a witness? Amen. Look with me, if you would, please, in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And then we're going to Revelation. Acts 1 is one of my, verse 8 is one of my favorite verses. I know you could probably, many of you can quote it. You should be able to quote this. Acts 1, 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I'm just letting you know, if you've never received power of God, it's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. Any power that I have is from the Holy Spirit. It's not me. I was just empty. All day yesterday, I was empty. Now I'm getting full because you brought the Holy Spirit in here. You guys did that, and I appreciate that. And I'm here to tell you. Now look what it says. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then what will happen? Ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There is true witnesses and there's false witnesses. Who is the true witness? Those that have the power of Jesus Christ inside of them, and they can't be quiet. They can't shut up. They cannot be kept silent. Jesus said, can anyone light a candle? Does anyone light a candlestick for light and then hide it under their bed? Does anyone light a candlestick and put a bushel over it? No! You light a candlestick and you put it in the room for all to see. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. But what's happening? You're being told to shut up. You're being told to keep up. You're being told to quiet up. You're being told to... You know it's true. Why do you think it's happening? Because of the virus? The virus has nothing to do with it. The virus is a tool being used by the powers that be, setting up what's going to happen. Taking away our rights, taking away our liberties, taking away our strength, taking away this mouth. Do you know who's going to stand up? It's going to be the preachers. That's why they're going to come after them and they're going to put them in jail. Like John MacArthur, he's in California where they have a wicked governor. Our governor may be lost, but at least he's not putting the pastors in jail yet. Amen? The only thing, you know why the protesters aren't stopped? You know why they are allowed to rob, loot, burn, do every damage known to man? You know why they're allowed to take over police stations and burn cop cars? Do you know why? Because everyone's afraid to stop them. Because how are you going to stop them? You're going to have to shoot them. And they don't want that. So think about it. If who could stop us if we were strong like that? Who could stop a million Christians? No one. Nor would they even try. The problem is they have to keep the Christians quiet. They have to make you feel powerless. They have to keep you in control. They have to take away your rights. Do you understand? Because what gives you strength is the rights of God. Look with me, if you would, please, and we'll finish with this one in Revelation chapter 11. You know, sometimes the spirit just hits. You ever, I don't know, maybe you get an urge to maybe, I don't know, bake a cake. Maybe get an urge to knit or crochet something. Maybe get an urge to just finally paint that wall. Maybe get an urge to just go plant a garden. I don't know what it is, but just, you know what I mean? You get an urge to, and you don't know why. Hey, you know what I feel like doing? I feel like going fishing, and you haven't fished in 5 years. Or I feel like doing this. You ever have that? Come on, am I alone? Well, I have an urge to talk in my spirit about what's going on today out there. So I guess, I know it's from God because it wasn't from me. But look in Revelation chapter 11, look in verse 3, please. It says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with the plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." These are the two witnesses. When we are taken off this earth, there will be no witnesses, no true witness on this earth. Do you understand that? There will be no true witness in the government. There will be no true witness in the church house. There will be no true witnesses. There's just going to be false witnesses. False witnesses. Lying witnesses. Lying witnesses. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been deceived? Come on. Of course you have. Are you being deceived right now about certain things? Of course you are. Because when you're deceived, you don't know it. So when you're doing something that you don't even know, you don't know you're deceived until after you find out. I think we're going to find out a lot of things that we were deceived about. Can I get a witness? Well, anyway, God's going to send these two, the only two true witnesses on the planet. They're going to be in Jerusalem. They're going to be preaching the truth. And the whole world is going to be, can't believe they're saying, they're not politically correct. They don't care about Black Lives Matters. What's wrong with them? You know what I'm saying? It's like the whole world's got, but they won't have any power against them until they're done preaching. Amen. Let's look at some false witnesses right now, if you will, please. Let me see if I can find a couple of them for you. I don't know. Look in 2 Thessalonians 1st chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who are these false witnesses and where do they come from? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me if you would in verse 3. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." When God says something like that, most people just keep on reading. I like to stop. You know why I like to stop? Because he put a semicolon right behind that. That means stop. Stop right there. Let no man deceive you. That means people are going to be deceiving you. See, do you understand? You have to understand the enemy and how the enemy works and what's going on in your life before you can ever have any victory or defense against it. Most people are blinded. They don't even realize the enemy is attacking them. They don't even realize that they're living in the enemy's camp. And here he says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So he tells us that there's going to be a great falling away of the faith of the people of God. He tells us that you're going to be deceived. He tells us that there's going to be great falling away. People are going to fall away from the faith of God. They're going to, and it's not like they're falling away totally. It's just they're falling away from the truth and the true witness unto a false witness. Do you understand? Unto a false truth. And look what he says here. He says in verse 3, he says, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, the devil, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is what? Worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now who's letting everything happen? Who's allowing everything to happen? God. God allows. Do you understand? So much. But once, and what it is you are the light of the world, you are the true witnesses, you have the true word, and you're the true worshipers, at least you're supposed to be. And so therefore, the devil cannot take over until we be taken out of the way. You understand that? Look what he says. Until he be taken out of the way, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and what? Lying wonders. I just want you to understand whose power is of Satan. The power that's out there is not just happenstance. It's literally of Satan. He's been trying to take down America from the beginning. He's been trying to take down Israel, and he did. How he took down Israel? By getting the people of Israel to worship false gods. To getting the people of Israel to be false witnesses. To getting the people of Israel to believe a false prophet. It's exactly what happened to Israel. And God said, I'm done with you. I sent you every preacher. You killed them. So what did God do? He sent Nebuchadnezzar in and wiped them all out and took everything out with him. And so now we have America, and we have witnesses, true witnesses. We have the true word of God. We have true prophecies, and people are falling away from that. And there's going to come a time when God says, that's it, and he's going to take his true witnesses out of here. And who's going to be left but nothing but false witnesses? Because everything that's happening right now is of the devil. Don't get all frantic. Just stand your ground and be the light of the world. Don't go putting aluminum foil hats on and thinking the aliens are coming and you're going to fall off the edge of the earth because it's flat and all these Bigfoot's coming to get you and Loch Ness monsters in the tub. And I'm serious. Stop with the crazy, stupid stuff because it makes you look like a fool. God is no fool. God is no fool. Can I get a witness on that? Thank you. When I say something like that, I expect that a response like, amen, pastor. God is no fool. And don't be a fool, don't be foolish. What you do is you be strong in the word of the Lord. Amen. Be strong in your faith, strong in love, strong in mercy, strong in forgiveness, strong in kindness, strong in joy. Amen. You don't let the devil beat you by taking your joy. You just be strong and stand your ground and be the light of the world. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. So look what he says. He says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. They're delusional that they should believe a lie. They're delusional. Sound like, you know anyone who's delusional today? That's all I see. I see people, I'm like, they're nuts. They're crazy. I don't know, have the words to describe. Are you with me today? Don't you look out there and you go, these people are nuts. They're nuts. They're delusional. And I see it unfolding right before me. They're delusional. You know why? Because they believe this stuff and they've believed a lie. And it's true. Look what it says. It says, strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Look what it says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I want you to tell you right now that the devil is behind it all, and it's all happening in right in front of our eyes. Can I get a witness? It's happening right now. People are delusional. They're nuts. They're out there. And guess what? Guess what? Many people that I know are falling for it. They're falling away from the truth of the word of God, and they're falling to that. And I'm here to tell you, just stand your ground. Be smart, be wise, do what God says to do. Be kind, be gentle. Amen. Now turn with me, if you would, please, to, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, you know what? We'll go there in a minute. I just want to look at Psalm 119. Let's look at Psalm 119. I knew I wasn't going to get far with this. Psalm 119, look in verse 140 with me. Psalm 119, verse, 140, says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now, I want you to understand that we are a true witness of Jesus Christ, but the reason we're true witness of Jesus Christ is because we believe the true word of God. The word of God is going to be trying to take it from you. It will be, listen, right now, what's the only thing stopping the government from coming in what is the only thing stopping the government from deeming our Bible hate speech? What is it? Nothing. Right? It's a few people in Congress. It's a few people in the Senate that won't allow it to happen. A few. Do you understand? In Canada, our neighbors to the north, it is against the law for a pastor to read Romans chapter 1. It is called hate speech because it says that homosexuality is a sin. And so therefore, they deemed it hate speech, and there's pastors in prison right now to our neighbors to the north. How soon? They've been trying for 15 years, actually 23 years, to get this legislation passed, and it keeps failing. It keeps failing. So how fast do you think they want to take this Bible from you? Let me ask you a question. What'll happen, do you think? Brother Keith, he posted a little thing on Facebook saying, if the government's trying to take away your guns, then they must know there's some reason that you would shoot them for it or something like that. Like something that you would use your gun against. You know what it is? They want to take things from you. And they know they can't because you have guns. They know they can't because there's going to be a bloodbath. You understand that? So what they're doing is chipping away and chipping away and chipping away at your rights. And finally, they're going to come and get your guns. Then right after that, they're going to come and get this book. Because this book is powerful, it's the truth, and if you don't have a faithful word of God, then you know what they're going to do? They're not going to just take it from you, they're going to replace it with their own translation that is politically correct. Do you understand? It's politically correct, and you're going to be in lots of trouble. Anyway, let me move on. Look at maybe what in Psalm 12. See, I'm not one to all talk about this. You know that. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord, the Holy Spirit wants me to just shine light on some things. Amen. So that, you know, I don't want anyone going crazy. I don't want any crazy people. Crazy people are not of God. Sane people are of God. Wise people are of God. Godly people are of God. Do you understand? It says God gives you love, the power of love. and a sound mind and power, soundness of mind. You don't go putting aluminum foil on your head. You don't be a crazy person because then nobody's going to listen to you. Do you understand? Bigfoot is not real. Okay, stop it. The aliens are not coming to snatch you away and they're not. Stop it. Okay, stick to the book. Thank you very much. Stick to the book. Look what it says in Psalm 12. I don't know how I'm talking now. I ended up in Job. Forgive me. Psalm 12. I'll get there in a second. It says in verse 6. It says, the words of the Lord are pure. Pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified how many times, Nick? 7 times. Remember we talked about that verse? Nick said, I didn't know that verse. There you go, Nick. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Just for a little nugget, before you had our King James Bible, when it was written in 1611, it was purified 7 times. They had 7 revisions of it, and we have the 7th it's not a different translation. You got to remember, back then, you couldn't even read the King's English. Everything was spelt weird, everything the typeset, so it took 7 times to fix it, and now it's pure. Amen. Just so you know, just a little nugget there for you. Look in Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. You guys believe in a time machine? I'm joking now, but I'm using it. You believe in a time machine? I'll tell you right now, you want to see a time machine, get up here and start teaching or preaching. You'll see that clock just fly. It's just like, I'm like, what? It's already time to end? I just started, man. Chapter 4, look in verse 12 with me. God talking about himself, his word. He says, for the word of God is quick. Who knows what that word means? It means alive. It's just an old English word for like where you hear the movie, The Quick and the Dead. When you cut yourself too far down with your nail and it hurts, it says you cut yourself to the quick. It means you know you're alive. That's what it means. It says the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. This book is alive. It's God. It's the word of God. It's the voice of God. It's the power of God. It is Almighty God. Nothing can change that. Whatever comes out of God continues to be God for all eternity. Jesus Christ is called the word of God, and it's alive. And it's powerful. And only God can make a book alive. Only God can have words that are on a page that are alive and powerful. It's supernatural. You can't beat it. You can beat it, burn it, throw whatever you want on it, but it's still alive. You can't hurt it. It's amazing, this book. And so the devil's been trying to attack this book from the beginning. Do you know how many different Bible translations there are? Over 20. When the pilgrims came here, they brought the King James Bible with them. And at that time, America had one translation. And then there was 2. And then there was 3. And now there's over 20. They have the you name it. I can't remember them all. There's so many different translations. And you know what? Each one, and I when I went to Bible college, you know what they tried to teach you? That a translation is just the Bible getting corrected. That's what they said. The Bible's, so some man somewhere is saying, you know what I ought to do? I ought to correct this book. That's what he says. And he said, so by the time we get it, we just have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and you really can't trust what, this is the guy in Bible college. Over here, it was Philadelphia College of Bible. And here I was like looking at him going, I'm the only one with a King James Bible, the only one that believed it. And he laughed at me when I told him, I said, I use the King James. Ha ha, we don't use that here. I said, it's okay, that's what I'm using. I got straight A's, the highest thing in the whole class, because I revered it. But anyway, you know what he told me? He said, well, what he told everybody is he said that it doesn't matter what translation you use. Just find one that suits you. And I thought about that. Find one that suits me. Do you know that there's a new Bible out? It's called the Gender Neutral Bible, where God is no longer called a man. They took it all out because it was offensive to women. You don't understand what's out there. You're probably sitting in your little town, but when you have to study it, and you see, you would be surprised what's out there. There's Bibles out there written by homosexuals that Jesus was a homosexual. Being serious, what do you think is going to happen once, see, I take a stand. I'm taking a stand on what I know to be true. Jesus Christ is the only God, the only way, the only truth. I am his witness. He saved my soul. He resurrected me. I'm going to heaven when I die. He speaks to me. He walks with me. He talks with me. I am not the same person. I am regenerated. Amen. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. I am supposed to preach and sing and worship and praise and pray so that I can be an example to others and tell them what to do. I'm telling you right now, in the near future, not only will that be illegal, but it's going to make people say you're nuts and crazy. I could go on, but I'm running out of time. Let me hurry up and turn to, let's see, look in Proverbs chapter 30. And then that'll be the last word for now. Y'all there? Look in verse 5. It says, every word of God is what? Every word. Even the these? Yep. The thans? The thous? Yep, yep, yep. Or excuse me. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He will protect you. Keep his word. Believe his word, proclaim his word, and he will protect you. I knew a guy, and he was, did you ever hear of Jack Hiles? Great man of God. He had the largest church and Sunday school in America, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church out in Indiana. And so he died, and his son-in-law took over the church, big, big church. And his son-in-law got filled with pride. And he was very, very prideful. And I was at a conference called the Pastor's School, and 10,000 people there. And he got up on, and he, with force and everything, said, who believes the King James Bible is inspired? And I'm like, I do. And I'm young, just got become, you know, in the ministry. And I'm like all happy, like, I do. And he says, you're a heretic. And my spirit broke inside of me. Something happened in my spirit, and I was so grieved. Well, 4 years after that, he's still doing time in prison for having sex with an underage girl. God didn't protect that. You know, what I'm saying is when you attack the word of God, you are in the devil's playground. You're done. You're done. And I could go on and on. When you defend the word of God, God defends you. Amen? That I just wanted to share that. All right, let me give you one verse, and we'll finish right now. Let me see where I want to go. Look in a Revelation chapter 11. I'm not even sure if I've read that yet. I think we read that, didn't we? Yeah, we did read that. There's one verse I just want to finish on. Let's finish on 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll pick it up here next week. Let me know when you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have so many verses. There are hundreds of verses, and I wrote down probably about 8 or 9 for each one about the true witness, about God's word, and about true worship. And we'll get to them next week, but look at this. We'll finish with this. It says in verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted. What did he say? You might well bear with him. You might listen to him. You might go with them. And that's what's happening. We'll pick it up next week. But that's exactly happening right now all over the world. There's another gospel being preached. It's not another, because there's only one. But it's the gospel twisted like the devil likes to do. It's the Bible, yes, but it doesn't matter what translation. It's Jesus, yes, but let me tell you what Jesus was really like. It's a witness of salvation, heaven and hell. Yes, but let me show you what the way is. You do know that Joel Osteen, who is a pastor of a church of 38,000 in his church and then millions of people, you do know that he's out protesting with Black Lives Matter just because he's afraid and wants to be politically correct, whether it's right or wrong. You do know that he was in many, many interviews, and they asked him and said, is Jesus the only way? He said, oh, no, I could never say that. There's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to God. That, think about that. And there's millions of people watching him. And you know why? You'll never find anything bad about him. Never. Because he's awesome. He's fun. He's got great smile, great hair. He talks really good. I mean, everything he says is sugar and honey, man. I watch it, I'm going, I love this guy. You know what I mean? It's like you can't find a flaw except when it comes to he's not a true witness. He's not a faithful witness. He's not speaking the word of God. He's not. And so therefore, if you want to take him out of the category of a pastor or preacher and put him in a category as a motivational speaker, we're fine. But he's not real. And that's the way it is all over the world. People are looking for another Jesus, one that fits their lifestyle, one that fits them, one so they don't have to change. Do you understand? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I love you, Father. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your pure, holy word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your holy church, your people. Please bless us, fill us, use us, God. Help us to be lit on fire again. Help us to be that burning light that others can see. Help us to be strong and not weak. Help us to be faithful and not unfaithful. Help us, Lord God, in this ungodly world. Help us to be godly. In Jesus' name, amen.